I want us to open our Bibles, please, in the book of Judges, chapter 16. 16th chapter of the book of Judges, commencing to read at the verse 16. Let's follow the reading of God's Word. Judges 16, commencing to read at verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like unto any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lord of the Philistines came up upon her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Spirit, that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves, or them together, for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God had delivered Samson, our enemy, in our hand. When the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines for my 2 eyes. And Samson took hold of the 2 middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which he was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew in his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his fathers came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah's father. And he judged Israel 20 years. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to study once again the story of Samson that thou hast given in thy word. And we realize that thy word gives a solemn warning to each and every one of us who profess thy name. We ask of thee today that we might be careful in the lives that we live before others. Father, we pray that thou will help us to walk humbly. Help us, our God, to walk carefully and prayerfully, that our lives will glorify thee. Help us, Lord, not to lay our heads upon the lamp of Delilah. Help us not to sin against thee. We pray that, O God, by thy Holy Spirit, that thou will guide us today into all truth. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I believe that when we look finally this morning at the story of Samson, we will see a young man, we will see a life that reminds us that the world may dine you, the world may wine you, but they will blind you, they will bind you, they will grind you if you let them do it. And there's a very clear warning here today that we need to be very careful, especially each and every one that knows the presence of the Spirit of God and knows the power of God in their lives. We have to be very careful lest we allow the world to shave us and allow the world to rob us of the things that are most precious. I want you to notice there, it says in the verse number 19, "And she made him sleep upon his knee, her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." And let us understand here that Samson has suffered a great loss. And friend, let me tell you, when you or I lie down on the lap of Delilah, you and I can experience tremendous loss in our lives, things that can be lost in the life of a child of God. I want us to think, you know, we can lose as Samson did, because it says in verse number 20, "And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and he said, I will go as out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord, that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes." He lost his power. And friend, let me tell you, if you and I walk in sin, and those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we play around with sin, and do not have that sin judged in our lives, we can be like Samson, because we lose power. You will lose the power of God, because power with God can be lost in your life. Samson foolishly, he played around with the enemies of God. He thought he was capable of playing around with the enemies of God, and somehow that he would get away with it. He forgot his separation unto the Lord. He had been called of God to live a life that was different. He was called of God to live a life that was separate. He was a Nazarite unto the Lord. But he forsook the path. And now we find that Samson has been led around with his fleshly desires and his fleshly lusts. And he shakes himself, but he has lost his power. And there's many a person, let me tell you, and they may go through the exercises even as a Christian in the past, but friend, because of giving in to the sins of the flesh and fooling around with the enemy of the souls of men and women, they have lost power with God. And you and I can lose power with God. You can lose something else. You can lose the joy of the Lord. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If you turn to the book of Psalms, in the Psalm number 71, there was a cry from a man that once knew the power of God. In actual fact, he was called a man after God's own heart. His name was David. And you remember how that sin got into his life, and how that he had sinned grievously against the Lord, because, friends, he had disobeyed God. And he had walked in sin. And in Psalm 51, he cries out unto the Lord, and he calls unto the Lord, and he tells the Lord in verse number 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Why? Because he had lost the joy. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, and you're saying, "Preacher, that's what the Spirit of God is putting his finger upon my heart, because through my sinful ways, because of my flirting with the world, because of my doing things and being places where I ought not to be, I have lost out with God. I have lost the joy of the Lord." If you turn back to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and then 1 Chronicles chapter 16 from the verse number 7, you'll find it says in verse 7, "Then on that day David delivered first the Psalms to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren, give thanks unto the Lord." And from verse 7 down to verse 36, It says in verse 34, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever." And all the people said, "Amen," and they praised the Lord. He's leading them in their worship. He's leading them in their praise of the Lord. Go back to chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles. And it says in verse number 8, "And David and all Israel played before the Lord with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with trembles, and with cymbals, and with trumpets." They're leading the praise of the Lord. They're happy in the Lord. They're rejoicing in the Lord. Friend, now David cries out in Psalm 51. He says, "Restore unto me the joy. Restore, O God, give me back the joy of thy salvation." It was the joy that once he had. Friend, be honest, there are many of God's children that have lost the joy of the Lord. They've lost the joy of serving Jesus. They've lost the joy of loving and walking with God. How did it happen in David's life? David lost his joy because he was in a place where he should never have been. His place was out there leading the armies. It was a time of war. And instead of that, he was lying in the palace during a time of battle. And he sinned grievously. And the Spirit of the Lord smote his heart whenever Nathan the prophet came and said to him, "Thou art the man." And he was brought to the place of repentance. And he cried out unto God. And he said, "O God, restore unto me the joy of the Lord." Don't do anything this morning that'll cost you your joy of serving Jesus Christ. You can lose your joy. And friend, when you lose your joy and you lose your power with God, then the third thing is you can lose your testimony. Testimony of a child of God is a very important thing. It ought to be very important. You remember Peter? Peter had a vibrant testimony for God. He was on fire for God. He had a love for souls. He desired to follow Jesus. And when Jesus said, "Follow me," and he said, "I will make you fishers of men." And for 3 years he walked with Jesus. He was one of the three disciples that were privileged in entering into those special moments with the Lord. Remember, Peter and James and John, they were the privileged disciples. In those days, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took them from the rest of the disciples, and he said, he called upon them to go with him deeper into the garden, and he went further still and fell on his face to pray. And then a time of pressure came into Peter's life. Short time after that, we find that Peter was full of self-confidence. He was boastful. He said, "Lord, should everybody else forsake you? Lord, you can count on me. I'll never let you down." The Lord Jesus warned him, and he said, "Peter, before the cock crow, thou wilt deny me thrice." And Peter was indignant at the very thought that he would deny the Lord, friend. And then he got into the company around the fire that night in Jerusalem. And even a young girl came up to him and challenged him, "Are you not one of them?" And Peter denied the Lord, friend, until Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. And he lost his testimony. That night he went out and he wept. Bitterly, thank God he was restored. Thank God he got his testimony back and became a mighty preacher on the day of Pentecost. Thank God, that reminds me, of course, that failures are not final. When you let God have his way in your life and you repent of your sin and you turn to the Lord. But you can lose those things, friend. You can lose your first love. Over in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is writing to the church at Ephesus. And he said, "I know thy work." And he said, "Listen, I've ought against thee." He said, "You've left your first love." And the church was called to serve the Lord. And they experienced many blessings. But Jesus says, I know thy works. He knew her works. He knew her numerous deeds. He knew her perseverance. Friend, you know, it's so easy to get proud with achievement. It's so easy for us to get carried away of ourselves and forget that we're out to serve the Lord and we can lose out with Christ. He says, thou hast lost, or thou hast left thy first love. Is there someone in God's house this morning, friend? Listen, this is a summary of your life. Yes, you're not away deep down in the world. Perhaps as far as others are concerned, it seems to be that all is well. And yet, be honest before God. These are things, the Spirit of God, you've lost the power. You've lost the joy. You've lost your real testimony. You can't testify as you used to testify. Why? Because you've lost your first love. Something else that can be lost, but thank God, a sinner, a saved person can never lose it. You can lose your soul, sinner. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul, friend? Let me tell you. There is nothing in this world that's worth losing your soul for. And I challenge the unsaved person in this service this morning. Sam Young was sitting as a passenger in the car. As his friend and neighbor was driving down the road, friend, they were coming home from the port. Actually talking about Robert Dunlop. Was Robert going to make it? And they were talking together, and the driver was just driving the car, and he looked over to his passenger, and he noticed the lip quivering. And then the bottle of water or juice was in his hand, and the bottle fell. He was gone. What should have profit a man, friend? If you gain the whole world, because let me tell you, just as that bottle fell out of Sam's hand, friend, let me tell you, all that you have and all that you possess today, it'll fall out of your hand. And you'll never be able to hold it. And boy, you think you have got a grip on it this morning, and you think that all the world and all the gold of the world and all the possessions of the world and all the pleasures of the world and all the sins of the flesh is somehow you're holding on to them. And you say, well, I'll be able to hold them. Friend, the bottle dropped and Sam was gone. The bike seized and Robert was gone. Reality of God's eternity. You can lose your soul. To lose your wealth is sad indeed. To lose your health, it's more. But to lose your soul is such a loss that no man can restore. Samson was shaved by the world. And the old world's shaving some of God's people today. The old world's taken from you your power and your joy and your testimony. And the old world's shaven you of your first love. And maybe you don't even know it. Maybe you don't even know it. And even though Samson was a son that was promised to his parents and he became a soldier for his people, but when you go to verse 21, you find he's a slave in the prison. I don't know about you, but let me tell you, it's sad when somebody falls. And you know, some people may laugh and point the finger and say, you know, that's what they used to be and look where they are today. Friends, let me tell you, it ought to break our hearts. And Samson lost his power with God. But you know, God's grace is a wonderful thing. Go down to verse 21, 22. Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Here's a man that judged Israel 20 years. Here was a man, let me tell you, was set apart different than any other man. Here was a man, my friend, that all of the Philistines feared, and yet he's grinding in the prison house, bound with fetters of brass. But here's the grace of God. Look at verse 22. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaved. His hair began to grow again. And you know, as we look around at the work of Christ this morning, there's a lot of things that need to grow. Our love for Jesus Christ needs to grow again. Have you lost your love for Jesus? Well, you say it's not gone completely. I'm still doing things for the Lord. But friend, let me honestly ask you, have you lost something in your soul? Is there something that's lost? It's not the same anymore. You've lost these things and your love needs to grow. Your prayer life. Have you lost out in your prayer life? Have you lost out in your Bible study? Have you lost out in a thankful heart? Have you lost out in your faithfulness to God? Have you lost out in your testimony? Because the world has shaven those things off you. You've got your eyes off the Lord. Thank God the story doesn't finish there. Because here's a poor man. And he's grinding in the prison house. But God's doing something again in Samson's life, friend. His hair begins to grow. Thank God there's hope for Samson again. He hasn't been finally abandoned. The devil, you know, would say to the person who is backslidden, the person who has failed and they're not on fire for God as they used to be. And the old devil laughs at them. And as you lie there in defeat, friend, and discouragement, perhaps in the prison house of some particular sin, and the old devil says to you, there's no hope. There's no way back. The devil's a liar. Thank God the one who's able to save us from our sin is able to forgive us our falling. You know, I think I can see Samson sitting there. Can you imagine the man that he was? And he's there bound with fetters of brass. And eyes are out and he's sitting after grinding at the mill. And I think I can see him blind, broken. And I can see him in tears. What a fool I've been. I believe down there in the loneliness of that dungeon, friend, in that old prison, Samson regretted. I believe that he would look back in his life and he'd remember the day that his mother first said to him, Samson, I want to tell you how God delivered me the message of your birth. You were a son of promise. And he would remember the days that his mother would speak to him as a child and take him up in her arms and say to him, Samson, God has set you apart as a Nazarite unto the Lord, and you're to live a life of separation. He would remember his godly parents. For his mom and dad loved the Lord. I believe he'd remember the times when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. And when the Spirit of the Lord made him strong. And whenever he went out in the power of God to face the enemy, he would remember those days of victory. But now, where is he? He's lying in an old prison cell after grinding at the mill. You think it couldn't happen, friend? You think it couldn't happen to you, that your life couldn't lie down and waste? Let me tell you, that's what the devil wants to do with your life. Be very careful. Be very careful, only one life on this earth. And as vapor is passing away, oh, to waste that one life. Are you wasting it? Is your life ruined this morning from what it used to be? And I believe there, down in the prison, he cries to God. And his hair began to grow again. I want you to notice something here. Here's the dynamics of Samson, verse 22. Because let me tell you, forgiveness is instantaneous for him. But restoration takes time. I want you to notice it says his hair began to grow again. It's gradual. You see, Samson's hair didn't grow overnight. His restoration back to the place of service was possible. His place of serving the Lord in delivering Israel from under the oppression of the Philistines, it could happen again, friend, but listen, it would take time. You see, that growing of the hair was an outward symbol of something that was happening in his heart. But whilst his hair grew again, let me say this. This is the seriousness of sin in a believer's life, friend. Whilst his hair grew again, remember this, there were things that didn't come back. Things he had lost forever. As far as time was concerned. He never got a sight again. He carried the marks of his blindness to the grave. Yes, God forgave him. And yes, God restored him. And yes, God would use him, yes, again. But there were marks of his folly, there was marks of his sin, there was marks of his foolishness in his life as one upon whom the Spirit of God worked that would never be restored. Child of God, be very careful this morning, and I'm speaking to my own heart as well as to yours. Don't you think that you as a child of God can sin and somehow that everything will just go back in a moment to where it was before? It leaves its mark. Sin in the believer's life is a solemn thing. And this idea that somehow, well, because the person's saved and because the person's eternally secure, and I believe that with all my heart, because that's what God has done through the cross of Calvary, an eternal salvation. But my friend, that is not an excuse for sinning in my life. That I think that, well, I'll never be in hell and I'll get away with it. Samson carried the marks of his folly. His eyesight was never restored. He never ceased to being a prisoner, friend. His freedom was never restored. There were the consequences of his sin. And the backslider will be restored to fellowship. But there can be scars that remain of the sin. Don't think lightly of sin. That's a solemn statement, friend. Don't think that you can sin as a child of God and think that somehow that God ignores it. Now, the interesting thing was this. Thank God his hair was restored again, but the enemy had ignored it. Because the day they brought him to out to play and to make sport, friend, and he stood there between the pillars, the enemy did not notice that Samson's hair had started to grow again, and they treated the situation carelessly. In other words, the ungodly were now living under a false security. Of course, can I say to the unsaved, every day that you live, friend, without Jesus Christ, you are living in a false security. You're hoping that you'll have another day. You're hoping that somehow God will give you another time to repent and get save you out of hell. But you're living without Jesus Christ. And I must say this, you're so caught up with the things on the pleasures of the world. Just as these people were caught up with the sport of Samson, they didn't see that his hair was growing again and that God had restored his power. And they lived. Soon they were going to die under a false security that all was well. Oh, they didn't forget Samson. He was the plaything. Let me say this, friend. The world laughs when we fall. And the child of God, when he falls, he hurts the cause of Jesus. Look at verse 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered themselves together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon. That was the fish god. And to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson out, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hand our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass that when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. He was the plaything. He became the plaything. And Jehovah God is now being reproached and laughed at. And the enemy says, our God, the fish god Dagon, he has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And Samson's sin had made it possible for the enemy to laugh. Very quickly, can I show you something? Turn to Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, it says this, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, mark this, howbeit, verse 14. Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Child of God, it is possible for you to so live that you give the enemies of God the cause to blaspheme. Samson's sin made the enemies laugh at God. And they praised their fish god and said, who was no god at all. And they said, he hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. How did it happen? Because Samson's sin caused the cause of Christ, or the cause of the Lord, to be brought into reproach. And the enemies of God to blaspheme. That's what Nathan said to David. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. And in Romans chapter 2, it says this. Verse 22, thou hast said a man should not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? Thou hast abhorred idols, or abhorrest idols. Dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through the breaking of the law, dishonorest thou God? Mark verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. The name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles through you. It is possible for the name of God to be blasphemed, friend, through you and me because of our sinful living. Our sin is a reproach to God. What an awful thing to bring the name of Christ into disreproach and bring the cause of Christ into disgrace. And the world stands back and laughs. Time's away this morning. I want you to look at just the rest yourself. His desires. Amazing thing. God providentially provides Samson with the opportunity to serve him once again. Verse 27, the large crowd. Verse 27, the leaders circulating. Verses 25 and 6, the location chosen. It was a strategic approach or position. And then verse 26, the lad called. That was probably a guard, a prison guard that was provided for Samson when he came to sport. And then verse 28, we see his deed. Samson knows that he cannot do what needs to be done to strike a blow at God's enemies, friends, in his own strength. And I want you to notice this before we close. It says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, and this is the only second prayer recorded of Samson in the scriptures. Samson thought he didn't need the Lord. So often he had gone out in the flesh. And now he's brought to the place where he cries unto God and he says this. Notice what he said. O Lord God, remember me. Listen to me carefully, friend. Listen to me carefully. He cried, Lord, remember me. Listen, God had never forgotten Samson. Listen to the rest of it. It was Samson who had forgotten God. God never forgot Samson. Samson had forgot God. He thought he could live without the Lord. And he cries out unto God. He said, oh God. Oh Lord God, remember me. He's broken. Let me tell you, we need to be broken. So full of self-confidence, so full of self, strutting around as if somehow we were of some importance. Let me tell you, my friend, you know what God has to do is God has got to break us. And they cried out, here's strong Samson. Here's the mighty Samson. He says, oh God, remember me. And then this is what he said. He's got God strengthen me. He acknowledges he's no strength of his own. He can't face the enemy alone. He never overcome the enemy alone. He saw his need, but he saw something else. He saw that God was the only answer to his need. There's a wee sad thought in this to me. You know, Samson didn't say, Lord, strengthen me that you'll be glorified. Lord, strengthen me that your enemy might be defeated. Notice what he did say. He says, oh Lord, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. Oh God, that I may be at once avenged on the Philistines for my two. Still thinking of self. Still thinking of self. And I think here his motivation was wrong. And he did something else, friend. He limited God. He says, God, strengthen me only this once. Because he was concerned. He couldn't forget what they did with his eyes. Let me tell you, my friend. Before the enemy put in Samson's eyes out, it was Samson's eyes that were the thing that carried him into the trouble in the first place. Because he was always troubled with his eyesight. Through the eyes, he was caught up in his fleshly desires. And he walked away from God. Notice his death. I think of the words that he said, Lord. Verse 30. And Samson said, let me die. Lord, let me die. And these are his last words. Let me die with the Philistines. He was willing to die. You know, thank God he was willing, I say this, thank God he was willing to strike a blow against the enemy one final time. Even though it cost him his life. And the house fell, and without the judgment of God. And Samson was given an honorable burial. And thank God the last part of the story. He left a testimony of victory. He didn't lie down in defeat. far better he had never sinned. For he sinned and paid a price. Please, God, keep us from sin. Oh, God, keep your people from sin. Keep us pure within. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Help us to use the moments that we have carefully. And may our lives bring glory to thy name. Save those that are without thee. And bless your people. For Jesus' sake.